sight. Caterpillar to a butterfly.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Hey, everybody. Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Green and Growing on 95.5 WSB. It is the Saturday show before Earth Day. Earth Day on Monday, so that'll be kind of the theme of the show. We'll hear from Birds Georgia. We'll also hear from Live Thrive, a really special recycle center here in the Atlanta area, and the Cherokee County Recycling Center, too. But you know, every Saturday morning I've been featuring different farmers markets. Well, this Saturday is no different, and the market's open today, the Snellville Farmers Market. You can find out more on their website. It's just snellvillefarmersmarket.com. And I've got with me Gwinnett County Master Gardener Wes Nettleton, and he coordinates the Snellville Community Garden. Hey, Wes, good morning.
Good morning, Ashley. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, I am so proud of what you all do there as the Gwinnett County Master Gardener Association. And the farmers market, you all play a big part in that, which we'll get to in a moment. But kind of give me what the vibe and the atmosphere is when folks visit you on Saturdays at the farmers market.
Today is going to be a wonderful day. Lots of people show up, families, even the dogs come along, and we interact with people where we have plants for sale, as well as 30 other vendors that are going to be present.
So that's going to be a big turnout. And right now, the hours are a little bit different for the farmers market, but that'll change in June. Kind of bring us up to speed on when folks can visit.
Well, this morning, the farmers market will be open between 9 and 12. We're at the City Hall parking lot. There will be 30 vendors present, as well as we will there be there selling vegetables, flowers, and herbs. We're in the expanded season right now, which runs the first and third Saturday of each month. Starting in June, they're open every Saturday until the end of September.
So that's really good. More and more farmers have more and more vegetables to sell. We know, Wes, as we get into the warmer months. So you mentioned Gwinnett County Master Gardeners with a tent, with a booth there, selling seedlings. How did it come to be that you guys were able to grow so many vegetable plants?
Okay, the Snellville Community Garden actually has a 20-foot by 40-foot greenhouse. And we start sowing our seeds back in February and grow thousands of seedlings, primarily vegetables, but also herbs and flowers, for marketing and plant sales. Back in 2020, we first got involved with the farmers market as everything started getting canceled, and we had thousands of seedlings with no place to market them. So the farmers market was actually conducting drive-through farmers markets, so we hooked up with them and started selling plants by people driving up and ordering, and then we'd actually load them in the car.
And people were really anxious to plant things back then, weren't they, Wes? Because they had a lot more time on their hands.
Right.
So they weren't looking for the tomatoes. They were looking for the tomato plants from you guys.
Absolutely. And we really developed a big clientele through that. And everything has expanded since then for the last 5 years. Now to the point where we're really selling thousands of plants, primarily through the farmers market, but also through a few other plant sales.
And I don't want to say that people don't have a green thumb, because I believe that everybody in some shape, form, or fashion can plant and can be successful with plants. But if that's not what they're looking for, Wes, and they do want to come this summer to the Snellville Farmers Market, maybe just pick up the tomatoes or the zucchini or zucchini bread or something like that, there's those opportunities at this farmers market as well, right?
Absolutely. There's a number of farmers as well as other vendors that have their produce, and it's all high quality.
See, and that's amazing. And you can also meet and talk to some of the Gwinnett County Master Gardeners who are going to be there at the Snellville Farmers Market. As Wes mentions, opens today at 9 a.m. until noon. Wes, I'm going to let you go so you can go ahead and set up the table. But y'all have a great time and enjoy the crowds.
Thank you very much.
That's going to be a fun time this afternoon. The weather is going to be beautiful, too, so check them out at snellvillefarmersmarket.com. 404-872-0750. A lot to get to. I want to take your calls as well, questions, comments you've got. I'm really excited about the lilies are getting ready to not bloom, but they're coming up out of the ground. Canna lilies, ginger, pineapple, Asiatic lilies starting to crop up. Things are on the move. They certainly are. It's been in the 80s the last few days, so I think summer is ready. 404-872-0750. We'll go out to the phones and say good morning to our friend Nicole. Nicole, hey, welcome, welcome.
Ashley.
What's going on with you?
I was thinking this week, you beautiful bird are making a good job this year.
Bird making?
Yeah, there was just stuff everywhere. So that's the bird or anything, you know, that cross.
Oh, is there nesting?
Yes.
Yes, they are busy. And you know, like that's I'm glad you brought that up because I had to reach out to Jim Bearden, the bluebird guy over in West Cobb, to make sure, you know, I had my baby bluebirds fledged the one night I spent away last weekend, the one night those five guys decided to leave the nest. And so I had to double check with Jim, do I leave the nest in the house and let that same couple have another brood, or do I need to clean it out? And I don't know if this holds true for all birds, but for bluebirds, clean out the nest. There's parasites, there's other things that could go wrong. So you clean out the nest, and then they're going to rebuild and maybe have another family. So isn't that interesting?
Yes, and I used to build those things alone. They like to be high and a little bitty old because they're afraid of predator. But look at a bird nest, how much work there is as one of them.
They're so intricate in all the different things they use, whether it's, you know, pine straw or lichens or moss. It's super intricate, and that's thousands of trips back and forth, back and forth, back and forth as they're building those nests.
I wish human being would be that busy and that productive.
We can be productive in other ways, but we're certainly a little lazy when it comes to that, right?
Yeah. I want to talk about crossvine and anything, you know, clematis.
Yeah, flowering vines for the summer.
I mean, I have all the color in the world, those clematis, and then you can propagate them from one pot to the other, you know. But they are a sight to see, especially crossvine. It's bright red, and it's got a cross in the flower.
Oh, hence the name, huh? I've never looked that
closely.
Yeah. And hummingbirds are attracted to that, as well as trumpet honeysuckle and some others. But the bright red flowers, they love that.
Yeah, and they propagate, you know, put the seed everywhere. But anyway, changing subject. There's a lot of stuff coming up, like trees, and we need to know, you take a piece of the leaf and go to extension if it is bad or if it is a good tree.
You know, one that I can identify quickly now that I didn't used to be able to, privet. Privet grows so fast, and I know now the small green leaves, and that just shows up everywhere, and you think it's innocent, you know, when it's coming out of the ground, only 4 or 5 inches tall, but it's so easy to yank out, even if it's taller, even if it's 2 feet tall, and that is invasive. You've got to get rid of that. And you can yank the whole thing out. You know, don't leave any of the root in the ground. Just pull it up.
It's because it produces thousands and millions of seed.
Right. It is
but anyway,
awful.
If you have time, blueberry this year, like last year, we didn't have no peaches because of the last frost and everything.
Yeah.
And blueberry this year is going to be really productive.
That's good. Yeah. So you probably read some of the publications from UGA Extension and all of that about their outlooks and their predictions, right?
Yes.
So blueberry's looking good. That is actually should be the state vegetable. Instead of us being the peach state, we really should be the blueberry state, given how much we grow and how successful they are here.
You see, over the years, it's 7A. Now it's 7B. So peaches, you know, they need to grow up north or down south. But anyway, somewhere there.
Yeah, I mean, peaches need a certain number of chill hours. And that doesn't mean freezing temperatures by any means, but they need chill hours in so many such a sense that, you know, the temperature needs to be low enough between October and February, I think, for peaches to do well. But that one, you're right, that one freeze last March was enough to kill off the flowers as they were starting to, you know, bud out. So that's obviously where the peaches come from. So that's why it was such a struggle last year.
Yeah. I used to go to the same place every year, and last year they completely closed because it costs more to maintain with the worker. It costs more to eat up all the revenue.
And, you know, I feel blueberries are a lot lower maintenance. Blueberries are pretty happy if given the right soil. You need to fertilize from time to time, but they can just be so prolific as far as how much they fruit. And peaches, you just have a lot more to worry about with orchards as far as, you know, insects and diseases and really getting on a spray regimen. That's harder for the homeowner to do versus blueberries. It's just kind of like plant it in the right soil, make sure it gets the sun, and they're happy.
Yeah, if they last, to me, I've been here for 25 years and they were there before. So after, you know, like we do, just replace it with new variety.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller, but the leaves are different. You know, I made a mistake. I put some bulb in the bottom of the blueberry to just, you know, but I find out that all one is really dry in summertime. The bulb take all the energy, all the water, so the blueberry is having a hard time.
What was on the bottom?
I put a lot of bulbs, like hyacinth bulb, a daffodil.
Oh,
you
in
know.
The same pot or in the same area in the soil?
The same area underneath the soil.
Oh, I gotcha.
So it took all the energy, but I was glad I done it only two once. This one is really flourishing. The other one I didn't do. Still have a lot of bulbs underneath that I need to take out, you know. Everything is energy, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah, they're all shared. I mean, the tree roots share the energy and the nutrients in the soil with things that are growing below them. You're right, the bulbs don't take a lot, but sure, they're robbing the blueberry roots of some of the nutrients they need. And now's a good time, actually, Nicole, talking about hyacinth and all that, to start moving some of those bulbs around if you needed to. Say you want to move daffodils or split up the clump. The one thing I wouldn't touch right now is the irises. They are looking so good. So when they're blooming, leave them alone. But you could start to move some stuff around now.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of color? Irises?
Oh, my gosh. My neighbor has a two-tone pink, like a maroon and a powder pink.
Uh-huh.
And mine are purple. Mine are all purple. I've got dark purple in the back and light purple in the front, and they're just looking so good. There's a couple of yellow in there, too. I think those were accidents, but I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. The first one comes, the white one. After that, I think it's the purple. They have a timing.
Yeah, they do.
For some reason. Yeah,
they do. Oh, irises are my favorite. And I was afraid. I was working in one of the garden beds at the end of the driveway, and Walter Reeves gave me amaryllis or paper white every single Christmas for the 8 years that I worked on the Lawn and Garden Show with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept them inside in clay pots and thought, this is dumb. I can put them outside because the amaryllis love being outside. So
yeah.
I would always, you know, dig them up in September and bring them inside and go through this whole cycle. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm leaving them out year round. And I just cover them over really good with leaves and pine straw in the summertime. But they're finally starting to come up. The leaves are coming up for the amaryllis. So I've got four right there, and I'm starting to kind of stake them up a little bit. But they're going to bloom and look really pretty. Of course, we force them, you know, commercially to have them bloom at Christmas time. But mine should probably be open, I would think, June or July.
Yeah, I think the most common one is the pure red, but after
yeah.
that they came up with mine too. The leaves are by maybe a foot high, then they're going to bloom, you know. But Mr. Reeve always say the right place, the right plant for the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, too, because sometimes we're not successful because it's not us. It's we don't know any better.
Yeah. Mm. I was actually planting some things for him yesterday at his home in Decatur.
Oh, really?
And yes. And I had to look at the tags to go, okay, forsythia, this needs full sun. I said, where do you want it? And he's like, wherever you think. And I'm like, don't put that on me.
Oh, no.
So I planted it somewhere where it's not blazing sun, but it gets sun. And then I planted a Vitex, a chaste tree, but it was so small. It was only like 8 or 9 inches high. And that makes me nervous, too. I thought, oh, all that responsibility's on me.
I don't know. Because he knows better. But that's the way to learn, too, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll go back over there in a year and see that everything that I planted is okay.
Oh, boy.
Good to hear from you, Nicole. And I know you're looking forward to the farmers markets and things, too. So hit me up when you want to go. We'll go to the one in Forest Park.
Yeah, no farmer, no food. That's the bottom line.
We are so appreciative of the farmers in the state of Georgia. They do wonderful things. Agriculture, the number one industry in our state, and we're so proud of that.
Yes.
Yep.
Enjoy your day.
All right, you too. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Nicole, always good to hear from you. See how easy that is? Nicole, she's a pro. She makes it look so easy. So you can call too, 404-872-0750. When we come back, the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend. You're listening to WSB.
The WSB News and Traffic Teams will keep you updated all weekend here on 95.5 WSB. Listen first thing Monday at 5 a.m. for those important news, weather, and traffic updates.
Now back to Ashley Fresca and Green and Growing.
The weekend weather brought to you by Finley Roofing is going to be high of 80 degrees today, mostly cloudy. The rain comes in tomorrow. They're forecasting around 3 or 4 a.m., so it's going to be widespread rain throughout the day. The complete forecast comes up from meteorologist Christina Edwards in less than 10 minutes.
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
All right, number one from my friend and Cherokee County Extension agent Josh Fooder. After a rainy month or so, you're going to notice cedar trees covered in this globular bright orange rust. Use a contact fungicide, spraying it on there, removing what you can and spraying it on there, and on any plants that are prone to fungal diseases on the foliage. Number two, we had over 21 inches of rainfall between January 1st and April 1st. That's a lot, guys. March was rainy. So the excessive soil moisture is going to push the food that moles enjoy, like grubs and earthworms, closer to the surface. Keep stomping down those tunnels. That's exactly what I did as I was mowing the grass yesterday. Looked like a fool, but I think it's going to work. And number three, spring plant sales. They're off the chain right now. There are so many in your local community. Check out native plants for your yard. They can certainly, master gardeners and the groups that do these can certainly educate you on what's native, what is going to be best for your yard. And Birds Georgia says the hummingbirds are officially back. Look out for them on your flowering plants too. Nicole and I talked about crossvine, trumpet honeysuckle, all kinds of good things. 404-872-0750. We'll talk to Birds Georgia when we come back, talking about what you can be doing during Bird Fest next on WSB.
Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Hey, welcome back to Green and Growing on 95.5 WSB. I'm your host, Ashley Frasca, here with you until 9 o'clock this morning. I want you to call 404-872-0750 to be part of the show. Birdfest is happening right now through May 4th. There are a number of events all across Metro Atlanta and parts of Georgia that people want to get involved in. So I thought I would reach out to Dottie Head, who is the Director of Communications for Birds Georgia. Hey, Dottie, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Ashley, thanks for having me.
So some people may be like, Birds Georgia, wait, what's that? Formerly known as the Georgia Audubon, but you guys had a name change, but still the same mission. Explain that a little bit.
We did about a six-month process, surveyed our members and met with a bunch of our community constituents and found that the Audubon name just was not resonating with our audiences and with the younger people we're trying to introduce to birds and birding. And so we, along with some other chapters across the United States, have rebranded. We are now Birds Georgia, and we're moving forward with that, and we share our space with Trees Atlanta. So it just seems like a really, really good name. It says who we are and what we do and where we work.
And what a good pairing, too. So a lot of my listeners, yes, they're avid gardeners and great gardeners at that, Dottie, but they're also avid bird watchers. Myself, I just had five little baby bluebirds fledge last weekend from the nest. We do the Great Backyard Bird Count with Cornell, their lab of ornithology, every February. And the fact that you guys dedicate an entire month to Bird Fest, a month of activities like birding hotspots and workshops, guest speakers, tell folks how they can get in on all of that. And what are some of the highlights?
Yeah, this is our ninth annual Georgia Bird Fest, and it's just gotten bigger and more popular every year. In fact, today we're trying something new. Even though we've been doing it for 9 years, we're at the Georgia Bird Fest Summit here at the Classic Center in Athens, Georgia, and we've got Dr. J. Drew Lanning giving our keynote address on conservation conversation, and then we've got a bunch of other guest speakers and breakout sessions on everything from, you know, bird feeding to preventing window bird building collisions. We've got field trips at some Athens hotspots, but we're going to be doing that each year as part of Georgia Bird Fest, and we'll be moving it around the state each year. But yeah, Georgia Bird Fest runs from April 6th to May the 4th this year, and we've got 50 plus events all over the state, everything from down in Harris Neck National Wildlife Refuge in Savannah up to a warbler trip in the mountains, and then, of course, quite a few events in the Metro Atlanta area. We also have a series of webinars for those who can't attend an event. They can join from home, and we've got subjects like Birding 101 and Raptor ID. So lots going on. Registration is still opening. A lot of events are full, but we do have openings. It is a fundraiser for our conservation, education, and community engagement efforts, but we do have some free events sprinkled in. And you can learn more and register on our website at birdsgeorgia.org.
very easy to find there on the website. And when you get so many people engaged, Dottie, whether they're older or they're children's programs, people become really empowered once they are able to identify birds. But what do you all find is like the most enlightening thing for people to learn about our songbirds here in Georgia?
Well, we have a saying around our office that everybody's a bird. They just don't know it yet.
I love that.
And we do have a lot of, you know, a lot of crossover with our friends over at Georgia Native Plant Society. There's just such an important, you know, birds are a catalyst for conservation, we say, and the connection between birds and our native plants is so critical. And we do at Birds Georgia a lot of habitat conservation or habitat restoration work. We work with groups like the Georgia Native Plant Society and Native Plant Nurseries. We've got habitat restoration projects all over Georgia, from Jekyll Island up to the Chattahoochee Riverlands Project with the Trust for Public Land. Just trying to build, I mean, our mission is to build places where birds and people thrive. And, you know, we feel like if we can get these native plants in the ground, we can get birds to come back and you can enjoy them in your yard. They just bring so much joy to so many people. So we're always excited, you know, to see people's faces light up when they get their eyes on a warbler or something, you know, a bird they haven't seen before that's always been here in Georgia and they just never knew it.
And there are so many efforts, I feel like, throughout the year. We mentioned the Great Backyard Bird Count. Do y'all participate with, what is it, Lights Out Georgia, you know, where we're trying to, not disrupt their migration patterns, right?
Right. We have two programs. We have Project Safe Light Georgia, and then we have the companion program, Lights Out Georgia, which are focused on, the Project Safe Light is focused on studying where birds are colliding with buildings. And then the Lights Out program, we work with corporations and building owners as well as with homeowners and ask them to turn out their lights during fall and spring migration between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m., which most birds migrate at night and they wind up colliding with buildings. And it's estimated that up to 1 billion birds die each year in the United States alone from running into buildings.
Wow, that number's really high.
It's kind of stunning.
Well, Dottie, wow, thank you so much for all of the efforts you all are doing and just the joint work and efforts that you do with all these other organizations as well. But again, if anybody wants to check out the itinerary for BirdFest, all the events going on through that first week of May, where do they go?
BirdsGeorgia.org.
That's easy enough. Well, hey, y'all have a great time at the summit today there in the Classic City. Thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to the listeners.
Thanks so much. We'll see y'all at an event here soon.
Absolutely, you will. And 150 birding field trips throughout the year, not just things happening during BirdFest, but 150 birding field trips roughly that are free across Metro Atlanta so you can learn year-round. Details on those are also at birdsgeorgia.com. And talking about Lights Out, so the spring migration for many birds is coming between March 15th and the end of May. So that's like a 2.5-month trek that a lot of birds will make their way back either to stay in Georgia or traveling through Georgia. So as you heard Dottie say there, Lights Out and then Project Safe Light. You know, I mean, I've got birds that strike the window, too. We took our screens off a long time ago when we painted the exterior of the house. My husband and I actually painted the whole house ourselves. Our marriage lasted through that. We won't ever do it again ourselves, though. But just never really put the screens back up. And I think that probably would be a good deterrent, having the screens up, that the birds wouldn't see the reflection as well. So I have bird strikes in the windows, too, but I don't feel like, I think it stuns them. I've never found one dead on the ground. But nonetheless, whatever efforts we can do, something as simple as turning the lights out, you heard Dottie say, between midnight and 6 a.m. when they're traveling through, that will really, really help. 404-872-0750. So what else is going on around Metro Atlanta? Well, Georgia Bird Fest, we just talked about running through May 4th, a lot of different programs, some free, some not. But still, nonetheless, if you're an avid birder like me, many may be worth your while. With it being Earth Day on Monday, there's a lot of organizations that are doing things this weekend and even on Monday. Some centric, you know, kid-focused, some not. North Fulton Master Gardeners Garden Fair begins today. That's going to be a good time in North Fulton. South Fulton has the Kendall Ray Johnson Earth Day Parade and Learning Fair. And if I'm not mistaken, she is a young student and the youngest farmer in Georgia. Kendall Ray Johnson's story is really, really cute. So that's an event and activity for the families in South Fulton. That's today beginning at 9 o'clock. We're going to be hearing from Live Thrive and Charm, the Center for Hard to Recycle Materials. And they are having a kids' day today at 9 o'clock. That's in the Decatur area. We'll have an interview with their executive director, Peggy Whitlow Radcliffe. And she's been on the show before. Once I found out what this Live Thrive thing was, I was fascinated. So bringing back something for you all to listen to that. Canton Garden in the Park. Love that. The city of Canton. That's happening today at 10 o'clock. I am headed down to Sonoy, down I-85. If you travel down through South Fulton to, I believe, exit 61, 64, something like that. Highway 74, Sonoy Road. I'm traveling down there. An April affair with the Garden Club of Sonoy. That's today at noon. And there's Morningside Farmers Market. The Georgia Native Plant Society will be set up there. Dottie mentioned the Georgia Bird Fest Summit. There's a lot of really good activities going on. And then you'll have to check my website for some of the ones specifically for Earth Day that are happening on Monday. So the website, wsbradio.com/green and growing. You'll find everything you need there, including the show up as a podcast. I'll get that done as soon as I'm off the air at 9 o'clock. You'll be able to listen back to any show you'd like, any hour of any show there. Very easy. 404-872-0750 is the number. So one of the organizations that I met and had a chance to chat with early on and beginning the show almost 4 years ago was the North Georgia Camellia Society. And if you are a big fan of camellias, that's definitely a society worth joining. And if nothing else, following them on Facebook. They do have a Facebook page, North Georgia Camellia Society. And Jim Pruckler is one of the guys that just keeps up with things so, so well and has a really good list of things to do for the month of April with your camellias. I've got someone looking into pruning my mom's really, really large Japonica camellias that are in the front yard that are just way, way too big. And they get leaf gall, they get scale, they get all these kinds of things because they're just too big and kind of growing into one another. So once those are finished blooming, which they are, now is a good time to prune the Japonica ones, the ones that bloomed for us in the wintertime. Also, according to the North Georgia Camellia Society, air layering activity peaks this month. If you have ever seen on a tree a thing of, it almost looks like a baked potato, but aluminum foil wrapped around the branch or the limb of a tree, that is air layering. That is somebody who knows what they're doing, and they're trying to propagate another plant from the parent plant, and it's going to start with that branch. So when you air layer, you have just the right conditions inside that tin foil, you wrap it tight, close up the ends around a branch, and that branch is going to start making roots. And then you're able to remove that limb or that branch from the original tree and start it. You can do it with figs, you can do it with a lot of different things. So air layering with camellias as well. Pick up and discard spent blooms. I was kind of harping on that last weekend because we don't want to overwinter any fungal diseases or anything like that, petal blight on camellias. So always, and with roses too, get that debris out from underneath the plant, you know, raking it out and bagging it up. Replenish your mulch. That's good advice, not just for camellias, but anything in the garden. Heavy pruning is over. New growth has begun. So really, we wanted to get that heavy pruning done closer to the end of winter time for some things. Now, you would miss blooms on some of the spring blooming things, but now you just kind of prune to maintain, and this applies to shrubs too. If there's one long branch that doesn't look quite right, just pruning to maintain a shape. Watch new growth for signs of aphids. Spray with insecticidal soap as needed. Yep. And magnolia gardens, that's where they often take field trips for late season camellias, azaleas, and bird watching in the rookeries. So I love that idea of visiting magnolia gardens or any garden. Right now is going to be a great time for bird watching. 404-872-0750. When we come back, the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend and your calls next on WSB.
We hope you'll join us all week on Atlanta's Morning News, starting Monday at 5 a.m.
with triple team traffic every 6 minutes to help your commute.
Now back to Ashley Frasca and her great gardening advice on 95.5 WSB.
Atlanta's News and Talk.
Here to give advice, answer questions, quell your fears, maybe just learn some things from you if you'd call 404-872-0750 live in the studio today until 9 o'clock. And then I'll give you the off-air news, I guess, that I'm going to be off next Saturday. I'm going away. But a great show for you for sure. We'll be hearing from Mary Kay Woodworth, the Executive Director of the Georgia Urban Ag Council, with an update on the Georgia Landscape Awards that were given out and what that means for you, what these certified professionals in their industries are doing for you as homeowners and residents of the Metro Atlanta area. A whole hour next Saturday dedicated to turf and to grass with Clint Waltz and Jut Howard from NG Turf. We'll also be hearing from Wild Birds Unlimited Mother's Day gift ideas, because next Saturday is April 27th and Mother's Day, I believe, is coming up on May 12th. So I'm giving you a good 2 weeks to plan ahead and get mom something really nice for Mother's Day. 404-872-0750. An update on the weekend weather brought to you by Finley Roofing. Today, mostly cloudy but dry. An isolated rain shower can't be ruled out, says meteorologist Christine Edwards. The rain almost a guarantee for tomorrow, and it's going to be cooling off a lot with showers throughout the day and highs only reaching the mid-60s.
Green and growing. Ashley Frasca's top three things to do this weekend.
All right, while it's dry today, a lot of spring plant sales are happening right now. Check out native plants for your yard. Talk to the gardeners. See what plants do well, what their experiences are. On Facebook, you know, follow your local city, their Facebook page, or go to their website and see some of the events that are going on in your community. And Birch Georgia guarantees us that the hummingbirds are officially back, so you can look out for them on flowering plants, too, as well as them visiting your feeders. Number two, from Cherokee County Extension Agent Josh Fooder, a great reminder. After we've had so much rain, you may notice in cedar trees, there may be globular, weird-looking alien-type orange rust cankers. Use a contact-type fungicide on any plants prone to fungal diseases on the foliage. And so contact is where you spray it right on the plant tissue versus systemic, something that you're applying to the soil and comes up through the plant. And leaf spot on hydrangea, that's a fungal disease. Anthracnose or powdery mildew on dogwoods, roses. And number three, we've had 21 inches of rainfall between January 1st and April 1st. That's a lot, and there's more to come. So this excessive soil moisture pushes moles' food, the things they enjoy eating, like earthworms and grubs, up closer to the soil surface. A mole can eat 70 to 80% of their weight daily. They're voracious. So mole control. Let the dog out there and dig around, or just stomp the tunnels down yourself. 404-872-0750. Right back with hour number two of Green and Growing.